All right. You are listening to The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. The Real World is UBC Film Society's radio segment where we talk about all things film related.
And woohoo!
Yeah, I know. Very exciting. Not only do we host this radio show, but we also put on various film screenings throughout the week and do many more movie-related events. For more info on these events and updates, most of them are on our Instagram page at UBC Film Society. Join us this Thursday in the Performance Theater for After Hours at 6 and Desperately Seeking Susan at 8. Do a quick intro before we get into some PSAs. I'm one of your hosts, Emma, behind the board. This is crazy. And this is...
I'm Lily.
We have a very special guest today.
Mia.
Yay. Welcome back, Mia. We're so excited to have you.
2 weeks in a row.
She's our Nepo baby. I keep bringing her in because she's my roommate.
Yep.
And
no actual credentials to be here, but they keep letting me in for some reason.
Roommate is credential enough. And before we get into talking about sports movies, we're going to play some ads. So we will see you guys after that.
If you're interested in maintaining a healthy lifestyle during midterms, finals, or any time throughout the year, then Freshy has you covered. Stop in today at Freshy on Westbrook Mall and order one burrito, salad, or bowl and get the second for free. Buy one, get one for free. Freshy on Westbrook Mall is your one-stop food as fuel choice for people on the move. Freshy. Eat. Energize.
No matter your disability, you likely face barriers in your everyday life. At Neil Squire, we help break those barriers down by helping you access employment, technology, and the tools you need to live your life to the fullest. As a nonprofit organization, we empower people with disabilities all across Canada, and we are here for you too. Visit neilsquire.ca to learn more.
It is Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Let me know where he's from.
From parts unknown.
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is without question the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it. Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers.
Are you interested in being advertised in Discorder Magazine? Discorder Magazine can be found in 32 locations and counting across Vancouver from UBC to New Westminster. You could be featured in cultural and community hubs across the Lower Mainland. To find out how you can be featured in Discorder Magazine, contact advertising at citr.ca. advertising at citr.ca. Rates start at $150. Ride with Discorder Magazine and we'll take you all the way.
Okay, and we are back. All right. So today we're going to be talking about sports movies. In particular, we're going to be talking about Challengers, Whip It, League of Their Own, and Bend It Like Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like starting with Challengers, it's the most recent.
I
so much
that.
Fun.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Challengers, for those who don't know or didn't do their homework this week, Challengers follows Tashi, an ex-tennis player turned coach, her husband Art, and her ex-boyfriend Patrick, who are all reunited at a tennis Challenger event, and it came out this year. directed by the one, the only Luca Guadagnino, with Mike Feist, Zendaya, and Josh O'Connor in the leading roles. So, I don't know about you guys, but this movie was, like, insane for me. Like, seeing this in theaters, yeah. Oh my god. I adored this.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really didn't know much about it going in, so... Mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad that I went in like that. I honestly don't even know if I looked up, like, a plot summary or anything.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know, like, the relationships of, like, who she was married to or anything. Yeah. I was just, like, jumping mm-hmm. right into it to see who she ended up with, which I really liked doing that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know that they were friends because, like, you see really? Them start off in that final match. Mm-hmm. And then it flashes back to when they're younger. And I feel like they did a pretty good job of, like, making them look younger and older. And so I was like, oh, my God, are those the guys in the tennis match that I just saw? It was really exciting. So highly recommend doing no research ever.
And also not knowing anything about tennis.
Yeah, also go in.
Makes it much more suspenseful.
Exactly. I feel like that's also nice to not know anything about tennis because then you can't, like, complain too much. I feel like there's a lot of picky tennis players going, like, actually, the score was a little off. They should have taken off more for that one penalty deduction that he got at that. We yeah, don't care. Yeah, no, we no. don't care.
Like, I literally never knew when they were ending, when they were about to win, literally what yeah. the scoring meant. No I knew idea. Nothing about what was happening for any tennis scene in the movie, but oh, I loved it.
Yeah. I feel like that's, like, part of, like, a good sports movie is to be able to make, like, the sports look convincing to just, mm-hmm. like, normal people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, for me, I was like, okay, so, like, you know, Josh O'Connor is playing Wimbledon next year.
Perfect.
Like,
put him in.
Yeah.
He's the best of the best.
Yeah. I know.
Honestly, like, he convinced me.
Yeah. I was ready to believe that they've been playing tennis since, like, day one.
Well, they must have taken so many tennis lessons. Like, I only read anything about Zendaya, like, being in months of, like, professional mm-hmm. lessons. I don't know about the boys.
Yeah. Hopefully they did. I imagine they must have.
I feel like one of them already had some tennis experience or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But those types of things, like, you can only imagine. It's like when actors have to learn their, like, an instrument for a yeah. film. Like, you're in, like, intensive programs to learn these things. God, I can't even imagine. But they also had, like, doubles yeah. doing
no I think it was really them Lily every scene
no that's the way I'd like to picture it
did every single scene
no she stop they're all it. Gonna quit acting and go into tennis now though
yeah. I mean they should you know it's a very lucrative career as we've seen
as we Clearly, yeah as we all understand now
yeah like I also love how this movie was shot like especially the tennis matches like that one
yeah
like I think it's in the final like challenger win like the camera is like from the POV of the tennis ball yeah. for a bit mm-hmm. like it's also like disorienting that kind of pushes you to like the edge of like sickness
yeah it was almost like out. Nauseating to just yeah. sit there and be like tossed around as yeah. the tennis ball
yeah.
yeah I think yeah this is just such like a beautifully shot movie and like yeah. I don't know about you guys like I haven't seen any other Luca Guadagnino movies
same no
that's Is that true? What
is
what
that true? I haven't seen Bones and All.
Yeah, because he did like Call Me by Your Name.
And I've Bones seen Call Me by Your Name, but
oh, yeah, I've
a
seen
while ago,
Name.
And mm-hmm. I was not super tuned in. I don't think I liked really? It that much, so I don't remember a lot of it.
Well, yeah, maybe I'm not familiar with his previous work, but I am really excited for his upcoming work.
Yes. Okay.
Queer. Sorry, little plug for him, because he needs it, obviously. His new movie, Queer, yeah, because my favorite of all time, Drew Starkey, is starring
Drew
in
Starkey
it.
Drew Starkey is your favorite of all time?
Okay, maybe not favorite of all time. Favorite out of the Outer Banks cast. But okay. I need to be more specific, okay?
Yeah, okay. I'm excited for that, too. What, do you know anything else about it, or you just know that?
No, like... Who? What's
Oh yeah,
very Daniel famous Craig. Guy. Daniel Craig is co-starring, mm-hmm. and it's like a love story or not.
Yeah,
or I don't know. What? It's kind of ambiguous. The teaser came out a couple days ago, but this is so off topic. But
okay,
like,
okay, okay. Yeah. Let's reel it in.
Yeah, yeah.
Real.
Real.
Let's
oh.
reel.
We're too good. We're too good.
No, I know what you mean. I love the different point of views. I really liked the shot underneath the court when the court yeah. was glass. Mm. That was like when my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my goodness, yeah. what a cool spot to be like after the tennis ball part, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling sick.
That's when you're part.
I'm feeling sick. But then once we got that shot underneath, I really, really liked that.
Yeah.
Did you see the behind the scenes of it where it's like they built an entire like glass tennis court and that's how they filmed the underneath? Like they literally had them stand above on this like floating basically box they made, which is like a glass topper. And it seems like, I guess how they also film underwater scenes in theory, but like it seemed really cool.
That's so cool.
I don't know.
Wild.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
No, Lily's jaw is on the floor again.
Lily's jaw. I love it. I love that scene. Oh my God. It was so crazy.
Yeah. And what else was crazy was like the score for this. Like Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross, back at it again. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I would step into this score. Like anytime I need to get something done, it's like Challenger score.
Oh, put it on. No,
I don't
like,
care.
Me, like after I watched this movie for weeks, I would put this score on anytime I would like go to the park to play tennis very casually and make it into a much bigger ordeal than anybody there wanted it to be, but I kind of just forced it. And you know what, I would not say my tennis game improved, but it definitely got my anxiety levels up.
And she sweat buckets.
Yeah,
the sweating score buckets. Has a direct relation to sweating absolute buckets.
Yeah,
really shocking turn of events. I actually turned it on, the score on at work. It did not get a good reaction. We were actually all trying to be a little less stressed at work, so had to turn it off.
But plug the score, AM bagels.
The score is really, really cool. Yeah, they were back at it again because I was looking at some of their other work, Reznor and Ross.
Yeah.
And I listened back to a bit of the Social Network's score.
Oh my
and
God.
It's definitely a little bit reminiscent of that because some of the other stuff they've done, like, I don't know, more classical vibes. But there is some techno in the Social Network. And I was just trying to draw relations between that and Challengers because there's this same, like, obsession, like, obsessive personalities and, like, ambitious personalities in the Social Network and Challengers. And that's where they put the techno in, which I think is so fun. Like, I think that really, like, makes you feel that obsession.
No.
Makes your heart beat.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, at its core, it's just a movie about obsession. Like, the lengths people are willing to go for it. Like, I think especially, like, Tashi. It's like you see how far, like, how much tennis means to her and how that's kind of, like, taking shape through, like, Patrick and Art and her relationship with them. It's, like, it's crazy how she is kind of, like, trying to pull all these strings and like how I know Zendaya has talked about like how power and control like changes for Tashi over the course of the movie. Like she can be more playful with it when she's younger, like with when they're all in like the hotel room and she's like, you know, spoilers, like makes the two of them like kiss. But then like as she gets older, it's like a means of survival because she doesn't have her tennis anymore. It's like she just has this to live through. Which I think is really interesting. I think Zendaya killed it in this movie. I think they all did.
Yeah,
honestly.
She's great. Yeah, obsession I think is definitely a key point. I was thinking about that because I was thinking of all the different characters and I was like, for three characters so obsessed with each other and like entangled in this weird relationship, they really don't fit well at all together. Like they all want such different things. Like it just... was like, how are they so entangled in this triangular mess when they all have these like really different paths that they're trying to follow? Yeah. So we have like Tashi who's wants like focus. She wants to focus. She wants to be a part of the game. Like tennis is her life and she wants to win. And then Patrick, he also loves tennis, but he also has this obsession with like being in on this relationship.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to be a part of it, I feel like, more than anyone else.
Yeah.
But he also, like, takes a bit of pleasure in seeing them break down and come down to his level a bit. Like, stop being obsessed with their respective obsessions and be obsessed with the relationship. And then Art, like, wants to be loved. But that's not to say that Art doesn't have his problems as well.
Yeah.
Because he definitely does. Like, I know Zendaya said, like, oh, you have to watch the movie multiple times because, like, whoever you think is the villain isn't really the villain. And that, like, also had me thinking because they definitely all play a huge part in the downfall of, like, whatever relationships there are between them. Like, there's not just one villain in this.
Yeah.
No, they're all scheming, like, at different parts of the movie, especially, like, as we... because we're chronicling so many years, you know? You really see, like, them go through kind of, like, the worst and the best. Like,
yeah.
It is... I think I also really like the decision to kind of show everything in the order that it did. Like, we don't start at the beginning. We kind of have to start, like, almost at the end and spend so much time.
It took a minute for me to, like, realize, wait, where, what year is this? What's happening? Yeah. Who are these people? But I got it eventually.
Yeah, the flashing back and forward definitely is a little bit confusing. But I do, I like it. I like how it breaks down that final match, like, by every section of the match. Yeah. I don't know what you call, like, sections of a tennis match.
I don't know. I never played sets. Tennis.
Oh. Like, by every set or whatever, and then it, like, Stop scoffing at me, Mia. Like, you just made that up.
These idiots. I didn't just make that up.
By every set, and then it, like, flashes back to give you some backstory. But also, you don't get a lot of backstory into these characters. Like, you actually don't really know any of their interests or anything else. It's a very focused on just the tennis and, like, just their relationships. Mm-hmm.
I think it is interesting, like, how their relationships with tennis, like, shift as they get older and stuff. Like, especially Art, I think, because he's kind of the most successful, like, of the three of them. Yeah. In, like, just, like, pure tennis. But he doesn't really, like, want that. Like, but at the end, it's kind of like, it's about, like, family.
It's not really his success. Like, his success, I feel like, is Tashi's success. Yeah. Like, she's just channeling literally right through him and is winning from his wins. And he's not winning from them. He wants to be done. He wants a break.
Yeah. Which is, like, interesting that, like, Patrick really honed in on that. I think, like, he still, like, even after so long away from Art, like, knows him so well. Like, he just, like, immediately after meeting Tashi, locked in pretty much on exactly the core of what Art desired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, like, their whole dynamic is also very interesting.
Patrick and Art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. Because I feel like it is, like, really interesting, just Art's and Patrick's whole character. Like, Patrick is so much more, like, loose and fluid just with, like, everything. Like, with the sexuality, just with, like, the decisions he makes. And then,
yeah.
Like, Art is so contained that it's, like, almost, like, painful, feels like.
I know what you mean.
Like, I know when I watched this for the second time with my family, and my mom came up with this crazy read of the movie. So she read, like, you know, like, the id, the superego, and the ego? Like, in psychology?
Yeah.
She's a psychologist, so I guess coming from that perspective. But I guess she was reading, like, Patrick as, like, id. So it's like, oh, the primal desires. And he's all about, like, the wants and the controls. And it's all about satisfying those base desires.
Okay.
Where Art is, like, the superego. And he's, like, more moral. He's very focused on the values of society. Like, he wants to raise a child. He wants to retire from tennis. Like, do what he thinks he should.
But also, clearly, is really lacking some core friendship values. Yeah. Because he totally goes behind Patrick's back.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like they all betray each other at some point or another.
They do.
And it's like, I feel like part of, like, the tension that's being built up behind, like, the game, but also that bleeds into their, like, everyday lives, which I thought was super interesting because I feel like a lot of sports movies, it's so focused on, like, one person or one team's end goal. And that's, like, what the entire movie runs, like, revolves around. And it's like, yeah, that was the case in this too with the final match and stuff. But, like, everyone, like, I got so much more invested in, like, their behind-the-scenes lives that, like, at the end, I was like, I don't really care who wins this tennis match. Like, they're so messy behind the scenes. Like, show me more of that.
Yeah.
But.
Wait, was there a third part to your mom's psychological
I guess, read? Yeah. Like, Tashi was kind of the ego because it's like, oh, she's still driven by desire, but she's more realistic around it. She's no, like, concept of right or wrong. She's still a bit immoral, but she's, like, realistic with what she can get. So it's, like, kind of a sliding scale for their expectations.
Oh, I like that.
Which is crazy to whip out over, like, breakfast. We think of challengers. But, yeah, I think there's just, this movie really lends itself to so many, like, interesting character reads. Like, I've seen so much analysis on these three, and, like, what, like, their relationship to each other means, to tennis means. I think it is, like, kind of, where the movie has become, like, obviously more than a sports movie. Like, it's not your typical, like, inspirational story, you know? Like, yeah, it's the underdog. He's coming up. He's winning the challengers match or whatever. It's just so much more messy than that.
Yeah.
And I love a messy movie. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. On the note of, like, changing some expectations of sports movies, and I want to circle back to what you were talking about, Mia, of the ending of, like, yeah, a lot of sports movies, like, we're working towards this ending, like, oh, is our team going to win at the championship? And this kind of switches that up because we don't really know what the ending
is. Yeah, I was going to ask. I was like, was there actually any clarification on who won that match? Because I, in my mind, I have an idea of who won. But, like, again, like I said, know nothing about tennis.
Who do you think won?
I thought that Mike Fight's character won.
Okay.
Why? Because I thought that... oh my god, what are the character names? Like, why am I forgetting? Like, I want to be in the moment. Oh,
art?
I thought Patrick had to catch Art in order to, like, not let him fall on the ground so, like, he didn't hit the ball or something.
Oh.
Like, that was my read on it. Yeah, but, like, I was also like, so. Oh, you think? Okay.
Yeah, I think you hear the ball, like, impact behind him.
Ooh, psychologist as well.
But in a way, they all won. In a way... Tashi won.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, I agree. But like in terms of just the kind of more technical sports side of things, which I like to focus on because, you know, resident tennis expert, that's why you guys brought me in. But just for the tennis fans out there, Art won.
Art won. We'd like to confirm your theory. He did in fact win. We don't know. No. Maybe he did, yeah. I was confused of whether Tashi was like happy or mad. Yeah. At the results, because at first I thought she was mad. Mm-hmm. I thought she screamed because she was like riding so much on Art winning this. Like, she clearly would have done so much to have him win that match. She wanted his confidence back because he is her player. Like, in a way, he's playing for her.
Yeah.
So I thought she was like devastated that it seemed that he kind of like forfeit or something. Like, or that he just wasn't playing the game anymore. He was, like, missing shots and things.
Yeah.
But she was happy. No?
Yeah.
Because she's saying, she was, like, smiles and she says, come on. Yeah. At the very, very end.
I think she was happy. Yeah. I think you're right on that.
Because.
Which would support my theory.
Okay. That Art won. But I think she's happy, not because Art won. Okay. Art won. I think she's happy that they're realizing that tennis is a relationship. No? That's her whole point, is that, like, tennis is a relationship. It's not just a game. Mm-hmm. And by them, like, embracing each other or whatever and, like, getting so, like, caught up in the game and not focusing so much on points. I think she does focus on points because she wants him to win. But I think she's satisfied that they're realizing that, like, the game of tennis is more than just a competition. Like, tennis is the relationship.
Yeah.
And that's where I think they also reverse things in the film, is that tennis is where the relationships are. Like, relationships are on the court. The relationships between the characters are where the competition is.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's where they're in the bedroom and it's kind of, like, rough. Or she's like, oh, I'll give my number to whoever wins the game. Like, she's giving her number. She's starting a relationship. The foundation of that relationship is founded in a competition for who can win her attention.
Like, yeah, it all comes back to the competition in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're always, like, fighting to just, like, one-up the other in some way.
To be in a relationship with, like, each other or Tashi or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Which also, I think, is why I really like the line of, it's when she goes into the car with Patrick at the very end, like, during that windstorm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she asks him to mess up in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't believe you would ask me to do that. Not because of me, but because of Art. And he says, like, fucking me would be one thing, but asking me to do this is unforgivable. Yeah. And I think that's where they, like, draw the line of, like, oh, like, having sex or, like, being with each other, that's, like, okay, he won that.
Just cheating.
It's just cheating. It's so just casual. Cheating. Like,
real cash.
Patrick won that round, and I guess Art is just going to have to find a way to get over it with time because their relationships are just competition. But tennis, asking me to forfeit the game, that's where things like betrayal, trust, forgiveness, and all of that, that's where that comes into play, like, in the actual game.
Yeah. No, the game is, like, sacred for these people, which is, like, I think the way that all the relationships, like, intertangle and just get so messy by the end of it, it's just so much fun. Like, this movie just really rolls out in a way that's so nice and so... God, yeah, builds just like nothing else.
Yeah,
I saw this year.
Film of the summer.
Film of the summer.
Challenger summer.
It was a challenger summer. Yes.
kind of mirrored my exact life in a lot of ways. I'm kidding. <the hell?
laughs> No, it was so good. I want to watch it again already.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely very rewatchable.
I saw it with my grandma.
Oh.
Good that little grandma-granddaughter bonding moment. Shout out to you, Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
Wow. That's awesome.
Oh. And to round off our little segment on Challengers, we're going to play a song from the movie. So this is Uncle Ace by Blood Orange.
Great song.
All right, so that was Uncle Ace by Blood Orange. Now we are going to be moving on to talk about Whip It.
Whip It.
Which is a 2009 movie directed by Drew Barrymore, ooh, starring Drew Barrymore, Elliot Page, and Kristen Wiig. So ooh. I think I'm the only one here who's seen this, right?
Yes, unfortunately. I tried, though. Yeah. And by tried, I meant looked it up to see if it was anywhere for free.
Fair enough. Valiant effort. Valiant effort.
Thank you.
So, quick little description for those of you who have not seen, which is many. So, this movie follows...
Which is many.
Which is many. this did not do well.
Aww.
Yeah. Box office flop, but box office win in my heart.
Yeah, aww, exactly. That's what matters.
Yeah. So, Whip It follows Bliss Cavender, a teenager who, after losing interest in the beauty pageants her mom pressures her to do, joins a roller derby team. And it's based off a book, Derby Girl, by Shauna Cross.
Oh.
Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but when I was younger, I was convinced I would, like, at some point in my life, join a roller derby team. Like, this felt inevitable.
There's still time.
I know. I could join a roller derby team. I should join a roller derby
team. Yeah, you should.
You should start one.
Yeah.
Just you.
Just
you. Yeah, just you. And I can't say that is relatable, but I really support it.
Yeah.
I really support it.
Thank you for the help.
I'd join your team now, but I never knew from a young age that I would inevitably join a roller roller derby team.
Yeah. No, there's something about it felt like, yeah, I will at
feels
some
like
point.
Home.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I love roller derby. But this is also another movie that has a crazy soundtrack. No Surprises by Radiohead.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It just plays.
What?
Like, all right. Yeah. That's wild. Jimmy Fallon's also in the
movie.
Yeah. Which is like,
what is he doing there?
I know. Who let him on set?
Yeah. Who has Radiohead and Jimmy Fallon in the same movie? I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drop it in the theater. This is what I want.
Wait, that's so funny that he was in it. Was he like a main character?
He was like an announcer at like the roller derby tournaments.
Okay.
Like he's recurring for sure.
But that's kind
okay.
of his wheelhouse.
2009 Jimmy announcing? Fallon is also a more respectable era of Jimmy Fallon in my mind. Like, wait, compared to 2024 Jimmy Fallon. No hate, Jimmy.
2009 Jimmy Fallon.
I mean, he'll look
we're just
same,
looking up
younger.
Some photos for reference, and we recommend you do the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
I might take back my previous statement. Let's redact that.
We're
from
live,
the record.
Mia. There's no taking anything back.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's on air forever.
Okay, anyway, tell us what you liked about it.
This is just such a fun movie. Like, this is one of those ones where you sit down and you're like, hell yeah, I just want, like, a fun roller derby movie, and this is a fun
yes.
roller derby movie. And
yes.
I think it's also like very unique in how it treats Bliss and her problems. Like, she's never trivialized like the teen girls often are in movies, or like her problems are never made to seem like too small or like insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Drew Barrymore has spoken about how she really wanted to create a film where like the characters were there for each other, not constantly trying to demean
aww.
Or like play down each other's problems. Mm-hmm. And like, it takes Bliss's like problems and like her qualms like very seriously, which I think is kind of uncommon in this like coming of age story. Like, it feels like most of the time it's like, oh, I can't go to the prom, and you recognize like, oh, that's silly, you know.
Yeah.
But this one, it's like seen with the gravity that it would have in Bliss's life. Like, when you're 16, it's like, it's kind of like the end of the world, you know? It's like, you don't really have like any interests or anything anymore. It's like, you want to do something, but your mom won't let you.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is like a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just for my own context, Bliss is played by Elliot Page.
Bliss is played by Elliot Page. Yeah,
okay.
I think this is...
Love the name Bliss.
I know. I
that's
was thinking
awesome.
That. I was like, that's an awesome name. Like, I really like that name, actually.
Yeah. No, it's super sick. Lots of fun little names in this, because like, I don't know if you know, like, in, like, roller derby, like, kind of how they all have, like, the stage names.
Yeah.
Like, fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's so cool.
Yeah. I can't remember any off the top of my head, but I remember, like, watching and being like, oh, that's a good name. And then they introduce another character, and it's like, oh, that's a good name.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think this is also a movie that I really liked, just kind of because it feels very, like, it's not explicitly queer, but it's very queer coded,
mm-hmm.
just given the prevalence of the idea of like a chosen family, like, because like Bliss kind of runs away from her pageant and therefore her mother to go and play roller derby. That, and like also the prevalence of roller derby in like the queer community, and kind of how much crossover there is between the two.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting, like, how that kind of came about, like maybe unintentionally, maybe intentionally, who's to say?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's, yeah, it's a really fun, very lighthearted film. And it's also very impressive, like how they shot this, I think, because it's like roller derby is such a high contact sport. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, and they did it like without their actors getting hurt, and like in a way that looks like convincing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm sure it's just like stunt doubles and that sort of thing, but you know, it fooled me. Could have fooled me.
Good.
Yeah.
That's how you know they got you.
Exactly.
Like just in Challengers.
Just like in Challengers.
Oh, now I really want to watch it.
I know, me too.
Yeah, I highly recommend, if you can find this anywhere, definitely watch it, because it's a bit of a deep cut, like 2009. That's eons ago, over a decade.
Eons.
Yeah, I was like 4, so that's crazy.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, you're only 1 year older than that. I was like,
yeah,
wait, I had to do some math. I did some quick math.
But yeah, that's Whip It. So now we're going to hear a song from the movie. This is Crown of Age by The Etts. All right, and that was Crown of Age by The Etts.
Loved it.
Oh. Yeah, that was such a fun song. I can really imagine roller derby happening to that.
It's great. It's even better when you see it in the movie. So if you like that, go watch the movie. But now we're going to move on. We're talking about Bend It Like Beckham, which
yes.
I have not seen.
That's I'd okay. recommend this one. Yeah. This is also a quintessential watch, I think.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised I haven't seen it. I've heard so much about it. I feel like it's just one of those movies where it's like, oh, I'm sure someone will show this to me at some point.
Yeah.
No one has.
You gotta take initiative.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's what it takes.
For myself.
Yeah, you should watch it. Yeah. So Mia and I, mm-hmm. Lily, have seen Bend It Like Beckham.
Yes.
But we're going to fill Emma in a little bit, and also you guys, if you haven't seen it. So Bend It Like Beckham is directed by Gurinder Chadha, and it stars Parminder Nagra as Jess and Keira Knightley as Jules. So those are the main characters. That's kind of all you really need to know.
Yeah, they're two like late teenage girls living in the UK, I think a little bit outside of London, mm-hmm. and it's about them and their soccer journey. Or football, sorry. Football.
Yeah. Good correction. But Jess, our main character, is yes. like having trouble like really committing to football, her passion and her gift. She's so good at football, because her parents, like her family, have different expectations of her. Mm-hmm. Like she kind of has to hide that she is playing.
Yeah, because of her cultural background, and her older sister is about to be married, and so in their culture, their family, her family's Indian, mm-hmm. and it just holds a lot of kind of like cultural significance to her around this time and her coming into her womanhood, and there's just a kind of a lot of standards that are being set for her that are outside of what she believes is her control. Is mm-hmm. in order to appease her parents,
yeah.
And so that's why she kind of like takes this back seat in her own life and her real passions, because she doesn't want to kind of like disappoint her family, which mm-hmm. is kind of the conflict she internally faces the entire movie.
Yeah, so I feel like that's very kind of similar to, in a way, in Whip It, from what I understand, yeah. is it's like the sport is an escape from like family expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. I think there's some parallels that could definitely be
yeah.
drawn between the two. It sounds like with that idea of like, yeah, found family through mm-hmm. sport.
Yeah, and then like losing one aspect of your family. Mm-hmm. You have to give it up in a way to have this other thing that you're really passionate about in your other sport. But then, I mean, fortunately, I'm not sure about the ending of Whip It, but Bend It Like Beckham kind of comes full circle into that again. So it kind of finds a way to integrate the two back into a happy ending. But yeah. it definitely is a cause of tension throughout the movie.
Yeah. No, Whip It is very much the same. Like, it does mm-hmm. sort of deal with, like, you know, the idea of, like, oh, you have to, like, you can't just do what your parents want you to do mm-hmm, yeah. forever, but that doesn't mean that, like, you know, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, there's a happy medium
yeah.
for most things. So I think, yeah, the two movies sound really similar in that regard.
And this was also an earlier 2000s movie. Came out in 2002.
Oh, wow.
So way back when. but it's actually Keira Knightley's first feature film. She was only 16 when she acted in it, which I thought was super cool to watch, because her and her being Jules and Jess have this such sibling, sisters, peers dynamic throughout the movie, but they actually have a 10-year age gap in their real actresses' wow. ages during the filming, which I thought was really interesting.
Whoa.
Crazy.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Whoa, 10-year age gap?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe she's actually 16. I feel like you don't get to see that a lot in yeah. like teen casting,
especially because like that's kind of similar to the age of a lot of the girls that were supposed to be like playing on the soccer team or the football team in the movie. And another thing I found really interesting about this movie was that the casting of the movie, they didn't kind of put like big star names over talent for the sport necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like all the other football players on the team that they ended up playing for were actually professional football players from local London clubs, which aww. I thought was so cool and cute and like woman empowerment
yes.
for the sport. Because also like the end of the day, like this movie was, a lot of people had their doubts about it because Bend It Like Beckham film focusing on women in football at the time was not seen as like a money-making production.
Ooh.
A lot of people, like the lead character who plays the coach, Joe, Jonathan Myers, he was actually embarrassed to say he had a part in the production of this movie before it came out because he didn't think it'd be a commercial success.
Oh, what the hell?
I know. So also, like, he's also like very controversial for other things, but like, not really. I'm kind of making that up, but I just don't like him because he said that.
Okay,
but,
okay.
he's their Irish coach who also happens to be the love interest, which also has some kind of weird age dynamics. Kind
power
of like,
dynamic.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. But, yeah, I don't know. I really like this movie. It's really fun to see them play soccer in London and have all these references to, like, English teams and, like, not only the Premier League, but just also in the States, because they talk about the Premier League, which is, like, the male league, professional yeah. league in the UK, mm-hmm. and there it's always in reference to what could be possible for them if they go pro in America, and so oh. they have a lot of clips from actual games interlaced in there with professional players at the time, icons like Mia Hamm, who was a professional women's soccer player in the States. And actually, I've read a fun fact about this movie, that it was actually going to be called Move It Like Mia, not Bend It Like Beckham. But it was ultimately changed because the director didn't think that she necessarily had to appeal to American audiences like that. But I wish it was called Move It Like Mia, for obvious reasons. One of them being my name is Mia.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will settle for Bend It Like Beckham because I guess he's kind of a good football player.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh, kind of iconic.
Whatever. Like, I don't know. But I guess my last kind of like fun thing I want to say about this movie, besides it had a lot of really fun dancing scenes, surprisingly, like only kind of like in their like one random clubbing scene. But I thought it was just such kind of like it wasn't random necessarily, but I was just like, there was no build up to them like going clubbing. There's no like, okay, like once they go on this trip to play in Germany, like they're gonna go clubbing afterwards. It kind of just like sprung onto you, and then you had this like 3-minute clip of them all like dancing in a club wearing like their iconic 2000s outfits.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, it's not just about sports, guys, you can have it all. But the last thing I want to say about this movie, I guess, is that it was the first Western movie to be shown on North Korean TV.
Wow.
No.
Bend It Like Beckham. Because to celebrate 10 years of diplomatic ties between the UK and North Korea, they broadcasted it on North Korean TV. But they had to edit it down 8 minutes. I don't know what 8 minutes they edited out.
The club scene.
Probably the club scene. It had a lot of like LGBTQ undertones. Mm. A lot of critiques of the movie are that Jess and Jules didn't end up as lesbians. So that was probably...
Well, it was supposed to be originally.
I did read that too.
Yeah.
And they kind of just changed the storyline to like some weird predatory coach.
Yeah. Not the move, guys.
You could have had not so the much. Move.
Yeah, we really could have had it all.
I know.
Been robbed of the soccer lesbians.
I actually saw that Keira Knightley said at one point that she would be willing to redo the movie, like do in a way that fixes the storyline or whatever, to make Jess and Jules end up together, because she believes that that would have been the correct course of action for the ending of that movie.
Yes.
Let's make it happen.
So, guys, this is our formal petition. Reshoot Bend It Like Beckham, change the name to Move It Like Mia, and make them lesbians. Two critiques.
We don't ask for much.
Yeah.
And it's like, the bare minimum.
We have a lot of power here.
Yeah.
So we only try to use it for good, but I really think this is one of those rare circumstances. Like, yeah, I'll come out and say it. We're going to abuse our power a little bit, and we are going to reshoot the movie. So, Kira, I know you're listening. Get ready. Put on your laces.
Yeah.
Lace up, Kira. It's time. We're so back.
Like Mia.
Move It Like Mia.
Oh, yeah. And apparently, like we were talking about in Challengers, how they must have trained for their tennis roles. Mm-hmm. Keira Knightley trained professionally or with a professional soccer player for 3 months before shooting.
Wow.
And apparently her coach said that had she started earlier, she could have gone pro.
That's crazy.
So
come on, Keira, get back at it.
So I soccer, you know what, I think it's in her blood. She needs to reshoot this movie.
Yeah.
Needs.
There's always time. There's still time for Emma to become a professional roller derby.
You and Kira, just follow your dreams, guys.
Yeah,
follow the dreams.
Yeah.
Also, I'm just gonna shout out me and Lily's co-ed soccer team. We're on
it's
now.
Not co-ed, Mia.
Oh, right.
We are in tier two women's soccer intramurals.
Sorry, I'm just like, I guess I'm really not up to date with what's happening with that team.
That's okay, but yeah, we were kind of inspired by Beckham in a way, and we've decided to take up soccer.
Yep. So, guys, come out, support. I think, I'm sure it'll be broadcasting on every ESPN channel out there. But,
obviously.
You know, if you want to get tickets, I think big boxes are like 1,000.
The boxes.
Yeah, it's real affordable. Something
anyway,
fun to do.
That's our little soccer movie that we wanted to chat about. Love Bend It Like Beckham. Oh, my God. It's such like a nostalgic movie for me, I feel like. Especially when, because me and Mia both played soccer when we were younger, I guess. And I watched it when I was still playing. And so it was like, oh, my God, like, I want to go to America. No, I don't want to go to America to play soccer.
Imagine me being in America already playing soccer.
Yeah.
It's kind You're of living the dream.
Living the dream.
Living the dream.
But the song I chose from this movie that I wanted to play, She's a Lady by Tom Jones, plays at a really fun kind of practice warm-up montage scene.
Yes, I love
that.
The
really
montage
just took me back to my soccer days and how good I had it, even though I was much, much, much worse than every single person in this movie. But you know what? Hey, yeah. Girlhood.
Girlhood.
Well, here we go. Taking it back to Mia's soccer days.
Yep.
She's a lady, Tom Jones.
She's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. Oh, 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 she's a lady. Talking about that little lady. And the lady is mine. She's never in the way, always something nice to say. What a blessing. I can leave her on her own, knowing she's okay alone and there's no messing. She's a lady. No, 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 she's a lady. Talking about that little lady. And the lady is mine. Not easy. Well, she knows me through and through, and she knows just what to do and how to...
Oh my gosh, such a good song pick, Mia.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you.
Such an epic soccer montage.
No,
you can imagine it.
Yeah.
The pitch, the ball.
I can see it all.
Probably some soccer players.
Probably.
Probably.
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Not I.
All right, the last movie we want to talk about is A League of Their Own.
So fun. Ooh. I haven't seen it, but
that's okay.
That's all right.
This is 1992.
Oh.
I've seen it. I watched it like kind of recently, so it's a bit fresh in my head, but I'm just so obsessed with it. It's got Gina Davis, and I was just kind of talking about her before we came into the studio and how obsessed I am. She just looks incredible in this movie. So Gina Davis is playing Dottie Hinson in the film, who is actually based off of, like, the character is based off of Dottie Collins. If you ever wanted to, like, search up a little bit of background
on more
Gina Davis's character. So she stars in the film, but also really central is Dottie's kid sister, Kit. So we've got Dottie, Kit, Madonna's in it, guys. Madonna.
What?
That's wild.
She plays one of the players on, like, the main baseball team. So
oh
a league
God.
Of their own, like, they all are recruited onto this baseball team. And Madonna plays May, and then Tom Hanks is also, like, one of the big names, obviously, in the film. Uh-huh. And he plays the coach of the baseball team that all of these girls are on. I'm not going to talk about all of the girls, but they all are, like, they do a good job at distributing some, like, screen time to all of the characters. It's not really, like, I guess in Bend It Like Beckham, I'm just thinking, it really doesn't focus at all on the other girls, but you kind of get to know a little bit about the characters that are on this baseball team. So basically what happens is during World War II, the sisters, Dottie and Kit, join the first female professional baseball league in the U.S., and they're trying to, like, succeed amidst, like, all of the rivalries happening in the league. So this is the first All-American Girls Baseball League, and they're recruited because all the men are at war. So the, like, recruiter guy goes around, and he's like, we need girls to join this baseball league. The baseball, like, the big man's trying to keep the sport alive. And he sees these girls, and Dottie is so good at baseball because she's kind of playing in her local community. Like, she represents, like, the team of dairy farmers. Like,
yes.
It's, like, small town Dottie's playing baseball. But the the scout sees her and she's so good. And she's like, no, I'm not trying to make it big.
So humble.
Dottie's so humble, but her kid sister Kit really wants to play baseball. So they go and they join the league, and it's just this great team effort. And you've got all these iconic characters who are a part of the team. So there's like the shy girl who comes out of her shell on the team. There's the jealous sister because there's like the rivalry. There's the star of the team who like is always getting all the attention.
Oh my God, this sounds like our intramural soccer team.
It really does. Which one are you thinking you are right now? Don't answer that. So it's got just so many iconic, like exactly what you want out of a sports movie is they're on the road and they're in their team van and they're bonding, and just such comforting scenes like that when they're moving between some of their games. And then there's this also really iconic arc that I'm trying to think of what other sports movie that I see this arc in, but I can't help but relate. Jimmy Dugan is the coach of the team, mm-hmm. and he doesn't believe in the team at first. He's like, I'm overqualified for this. Like, I can't believe I'm coaching this like women's baseball team. Women can't play baseball. Like, because he used to be a professional baseball player, mm-hmm. and he just thinks that he's way too good for it. Slowly but surely, he realizes that they've got it in them. Like, they're fabulous baseball players. Oh, they're God. So good. And he is also a drunk. He reminds me a lot. Basically, what I'm trying to say is he reminds me so much of Haymitch from The Hunger Games.
Oh. Aw.
Because, you know, when they're like, Haymitch, like, we need your advice to go into the games. You guys, have you seen The Hunger
Games?
Yes,
okay. Many times.
So they're like, we need your advice. Like, what can we do? Like, you're the professional here. Like, in a way, he's been in the games. And he's like, oh, you guys don't have it in you. Like, there's no point in me even telling you. That's so Jimmy Dugan. Like,
Haymitch. Jimmy. Yeah.
Haymitch just copied Jimmy Dugan, because then by the end, Jimmy Dugan's like, oh my God, they might be something special here.
I mean, I actually don't think I've ever seen either of them in the same room.
Low key. Huge conspiracy.
Same person?
Anyway, I love that arc of like the guy who doesn't really believe. Like, obviously he should have believed in them at the beginning, but by the end, like, he was a big supporter of the team. And it was just a great arc for them, and they're all friends by the end.
Aww.
Love to see it.
And I just love the movie. You guys should watch it.
Yeah. Well, Joe, the coach, and Bennett, like Beckham, it's not he doesn't believe in the girls, but there's a lot of discourse around like him wanting to coach the boys' side, and they wouldn't let him coach the boys' side. And, like,
yeah.
He was also a footballer, but he got an injury, and that's why he had the coach.
That's exactly like Jimmy Dugan.
I don't think I've seen them in the same room either.
Oh my God.
Who's given Tom Hanks this many roles?
Anyway, that's kind of the one I wanted to talk about. Yeah, there's a lot of connections, I feel like. I like that we picked three of our big ones that we just talked about are all like female in sports films. Mm-hmm. So we've got soccer, baseball, and roller derby.
Yeah, the classic.
The classics. Yeah, kind of the big three.
Big three at the Olympics. I know I was tuned in for roller derby.
Oh, yeah. Locked in.
I'd actually love to see that at the Olympics. Like,
I'm almost surprised
so
it's not.
Well, like, I mean, hey, I think breakdancing is on its way out. So, hey.
There's room.
LA 2028.
Roller derby.
Okay, we can't be asking for too much. We've already used our power.
I know. Oh, God.
We've already
don't take it seriously,
guys. The reissue of Bend It Like Beckham. We can't be altering the Olympics.
We're using our powers for good. Using our powers for good.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But anyway.
Sports movies.
Sports movies. We hope you go watch all of those or rewatch them if you haven't already.
Play a sport. Yeah, go play a sport.
Go outside. Get some grass.
Get outside, guys.
Yeah. You can go.
Yeah, just basically get outside, guys.
Yeah, watch a movie, play a sport, do it at the same time. If you can, like, play tennis while watching Challengers, I think they should let you play Wimbledon.
I think it's honestly equivalent to a year's worth of coaching.
Yeah.
Just watching it while you're playing. Maybe just even having the soundtrack going while you're sleeping just to kind of get you in that headspace.
Yeah.
24/7.
Adds up.
Yeah.
Would recommend.
Highly. Yeah.
I bet your mom would say similar things if she was on here as a psychologist.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get her on.
Get her on. Next guest.
Well, yeah. That was our episode on sports. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. Woo-hoo. And we'll see you next week. Same place, same time. And until then, keep watching movies, I guess.
Yes.
Keep watching movies.
Keep playing sports.
Keep on keeping on.